When I think of what's going on these days, I feel very wistful. Very wistful. Because you know, people have had the opportunity to hear God's word, and they heard it, but they had to make a decision, and they didn't make their decision for the Lord. They thought they knew things better than a prophet sent and confirmed by God. We have heard many things, and I think there's no harm in taking out a magazine and seeing something in it that blew me away. And on the other hand, just confirms what Brother Branham said years ago. Every now and then, a star rises on the Christian horizon. And at the moment, it is Catherine Kuhlman. She is the most popular healer of the full gospel in America at the moment. There is no one as popular among Pentecostals as Catherine Kuhlman. And as it is, all roads lead to Rome. And one should not think that people who once lift up their hands, speak in tongues, sing, and all the things they think they have to do, and then they go to kiss the Pope's ring and get down on one knee. And I remember that today, and all of you, how many times Brother Branham said, even speaking in tongues is no proof. Is no proof. And you know, I've said that here before. I was very deeply impressed when Brother Branham spoke just in this way, that he scrutinized the people of the full gospel and said some sharp things. I was always afraid that he might go too far. He didn't go too far. But after the ring kissing was over, then it says here that his holiness gave her the blessing. Then one should think, where do things go? They are already where they should go. When a person who professes to believe the full gospel goes such a way, the Holy Scripture says, in the last time, the two things will be so near together that only the elect will see where it is genuine and where it is fake, apart from the outward appearance. Perhaps someone might say, we don't care about that. I have stood long enough on the point of view that such things do not interest me. But the Holy Scripture speaks of a Jezebel, and it speaks of the good and the evil. It speaks of all things, whether they were disadvantageous or advantageous. God has seen and shown everything in the light as he saw it, and as he wanted his people to see it, so also in this time. Things have come so far today, so far. And the peak in all this is still this, his holiness, whatever they call him. He gives her a diamond ring with a symbol that is welcome to all Pentecostals, with a dove. Yes, with a dove. Don't you worry. The devil comes to everyone as they wish, as they desire. He can dress all in white, if necessary. He can also appear all in black. He can come as he is needed, that he may not be noticed. And so there too, it's all so beautiful, isn't it? A symbol of the white dove. But what does it matter if people say that we are so poor, as the song goes? And to all this, I don't know how I get to this. There is just something spinning around inside me, because I realize time is running out and things are taking shape in ways we hardly suspect. A few years ago, even in all the pious magazines, when it came to the ecumenical council, one was always for and against. One was still seeing two sides. Those who received the last mailings here in the area know what is written on them. They know exactly what is written here. Here in this ecumenical study group are listed the following: Protestant churches, Free Evangelical Church, Catholic Church of the region. They are all under one hat. While the people are still sitting in the rows and are only somehow kept in distant zones by some very cleverly set up reports, the things at the green table have long since all been decided and are a fact. The people do not notice. They are walking into a snare without knowing what is actually happening and are blinded. Here we think again of the prophecy we published in the last circular letter. Blinded by the splendor, they are all marching towards Rome. I dare say, if a Martin Luther saw what is happening in this time, if you think of all the martyrs who died for the sake of the Word of God, if you see what is going on in this time, people throw away the precious truths of the Bible as if they don't count for anything and think the Pope can give them something. I would like to say with Brother Branham that my voice would have been raised in that time, and that I have admonished the people to flee as from the greatest destruction from such a thing. The only place of safety is Jesus Christ, our Lord. But this be certain, whoever does not listen to the call of God will have to listen to the other call. And he who does not come out will stay in. And the word of the Lord for this time is, ye my people, come out, and touch not the unclean thing. Be ye separate, then you shall be my sons and my daughters. God does not want pious, light-headed men who do not know where they are going. God wants people who have received the revelation of His will, people who are worthy to escape all that is to come, to stand before the Lord. Is the way to heaven via Rome? Not at all. Only via Golgotha. Nowhere else. The way to heaven leads only via Golgotha. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything else is in the wrong. But the Holy Scripture says, in secret, the mystery of iniquity does already work. The wickedness is at work in secret, but it's no longer hidden. It is slowly coming to the surface. Thanks be to God for the sending of His prophet in this time. Thanks be to God for the revelation of His precious and holy word. We would all have gone like sheep without a shepherd, thinking, this one with the shepherd's crook and with the keys he will feed. It is incomprehensible. And yet, we think again of the words of Brother Branham. He said, O America, how often has the Lord willed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks? How many opportunities God has given you, and you have refused them? There is nothing worse on earth than to reject the offer of God, which He has so graciously repeated year after year and time after time, to give grace to the people to know their today. But he must have said it in 1958 or 59. I no longer pray for America. There is no more salvation and healing. The time is past. They have not taken their chance. When a prophet of God says that, you know how much the clock of God has struck. Then it is too late. Then people have mocked the Spirit of grace, thinking, huh, he doesn't know God's word properly. We are learned, and we can tell him what is right. No one needs to teach a prophet of God. They have been taught by God, and all the people of God who have listened to the prophetic message have also been taught by God and have been plucked out of all the human teachings. Do not be angry that I have mentioned these things. It is late on the world's clock, and God alone knows the time. He knows the hour. God has his ways. We have but one desire, to be in the will of God. This last time we have here must be redeemed as best we can in the will of God. And we hope that there are still 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to Baal. People who have grasped what it is really all about. And it will soon be revealed whether we have understood with our hearts what this time is all about. Not that we have only said yes to what God has revealed, but that we can also say amen to it from the bottom of our hearts. We know God's promises are yes and amen, not just yes, but yes and amen. And what God says is yes and amen. Everything what is with God is yes and amen. It is a promise, and it must happen what he has promised. But one thing is known, God knows his own. And all those who have had success in their ministry insist on their success. They don't look at God or God's word. They look at what they have achieved, like a businessman who can say, I started like this with a few Deutschmarks in my pocket. Today I've achieved this and that. When a preacher gets to the point where he looks back and takes stock and thinks he has achieved something, such a person has not understood anything and was not sent at all. No human being has achieved anything. If something has happened, then God has worked it by grace and not a human being to look back on. Well, I hope that we remain as critical with ourselves as we are with others, and that God will stand by us all the days of our lives, until we come from believing unto seeing. It pleased the Lord to reveal his word in this last time. He had people who were ready to hear. When I think about it, brothers and sisters are here from all directions under heaven, people to whom God has opened their hearts. And how grateful we are for that, we can't even understand. That people who didn't hear and didn't see and didn't have the opportunity, they only heard once and their hearts burned. They knew there must be something about this. And those who sat in meetings and saw the mighty gift of revelation at work, and often it was so sharp that everybody could have known and noticed it. Because Brother Branham even revealed the thoughts of those who sat there as preachers on the platform. And he simply said, think not. What was it? The one brother who had said, he is an old man figuring things out in the woods. And Brother Branham mentions that word for word on the platform, and a man is sitting behind him. Brother Branham looks around and says, "Don't think like that. The thoughts of the hearts have been revealed everywhere, but they would not stay in his presence any longer, because their doings have also become manifest." Why? Why did most people back down? They did not want to be revealed. It was comfortable for them to continue as before. But thanks be to the Lord. What shall it hinder us? God has purposed to finish his work in this time. He will do it. He calls the last out of everything before the door is closed forever. And from this we also recognize what Brother Branham says in the sermon about the mark of the beast and about the seal of God. He summed it up in two sentences. And he says, "All who have not received the seal of God will receive the mark of the beast." It's as simple as that. And there we come to the point that many have thought that if they are baptized in the Spirit, then they have the seal of God, then they have the free pass, then they take part in the rapture. That's not true. That's not true at all. Only the seed of God can be sealed. Only the elect, only those who are chosen before the foundation of the world to participate in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And for them it is a seal of God unto the day of the redemption of their body, until the Lord comes again to take his own. For the others, as we've heard it in Brother Branham's sermons, only the mind is filled with the Spirit, but not the soul transformed and sealed. And therefore, we may be thankful to God with all our hearts for the great grace of just dropping every offer that was tempting. It was not addressed to us in the first place. Even it was addressed to us, we knew that we were not addressed and thus not meant. It was a narrow path, sometimes not understood by ourselves. Just be honest. Did you always understand your ways? You couldn't join in here and not go along there. We felt that it wasn't right, but you didn't have the answer. But when the time was fulfilled, God sent his word and gave us the information we needed at that time. No matter whether we were in churches or denominations or fellowships, at the right time, God spoke to us, and our souls burned, and we knew God's word is yes and amen, and will stand, and so will those who receive and accept it. I have to read a scripture from Joshua. We have heard such a glorious word. It says here in Joshua 23, from verse 14, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one promise has failed which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof." Not one of the promises has remained unfulfilled. Just these words. Joshua was at the end of his journey, and he speaks once more from the depth of his heart to the people blessed by God, to the people to whom the promise had come, and with the promise the deliverance, and with the deliverance the blessing. Before them lay the land, and they entered, they took it. And he says here, "Behold, now I'm going the way of all the earth." In other words, I have to go the same way as all men have to go. I too must pass through the Jordan of death. But he does not begin to sing a song of lamentation. He simply says, consider then with all your heart and with all your soul that of all the promises of blessing which the Lord your God has made concerning you, not one has remained unfulfilled. Joshua made his farewell speech before the people, and the greatest thing for him was that God had kept his word and fulfilled his promises among his people. If God would allow me to give a farewell speech, that would be my text, God willing, to highlight God's faithfulness in this time, that he remembered all his promises and left not one unfulfilled. It says here, consider then with all your heart and with all your soul, not superficially, not flippant, that one simply says, God has kept his word, finish, I'm moving on. No, this is a matter to be pondered day and night with all one's heart and soul if one has been given a share in the fulfillment of God's promises. If you belong to the people of God and have witnessed how God has given the land, defeated the enemies, kept his word, and kept his promises, you can think about it day and night with all your heart and soul. Joshua, in his farewell speech, he said, consider then with all your heart. What a blessed man of God, this Joshua. He did not say, if I depart now, provide for my family or for my children. He says, this you should consider with all your heart and with all your soul, namely, what God has done for you, in what a way he has fulfilled his promises and his word in your midst. That's what they should be thinking about. That is something wonderful. No earthly thoughts, nothing directed at himself, but he had one thing in mind, the faithfulness of God. He who said to him at the beginning, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Fear not, be bold, and be strong, be firm in your resolve. For every land on which the sole of your foot treads, I will give you. Joshua had experienced it all. Just as the Lord God spoke it, so Joshua experienced it all the way through, taking the land, every step to the last. God kept his word. And as this man of God comes to the end of his journey, there is only one thing on his heart, to praise the faithfulness of God. It is one on his lips, to remind God's people of what the Lord has done. They are profound words. Consider then with all your heart. How often have these prophets spoken with tears, spoken with a touched heart, what God has put in their mouths. And he says here, consider then with all your heart and with all your soul, that of all the promises which the Lord your God has made concerning you, not one has remained unfulfilled. And he goes further and writes, or says, nay, all have come to pass with you. This word I like so much at this moment. Not just all came to pass, that could be a broad term. It says here, nay, all have come to pass with you. In other words, you have experienced it yourselves. You have seen it, not just heard it, not in others, in yourselves. He has fulfilled his promises on his people and has brought to pass what he had promised. And we too may testify to this in this time with all our heart and with all our soul. The God of Moses and the God of Joshua, the God of Brother Branham, the God of all servants and prophets is our God, and he watches over his people and over his word. And he will bring his work to completion and finish it unto the glorious day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it will be said at the end of the Church of the Living God, not one of the promises of the Lord your God has failed. All have come to pass in your midst. It will come to pass in the name of the Lord that God's word and God's final promise will be fulfilled, not somewhere, but in the Church of the Living God. That is the place where the promises of God come to fulfillment. And why? Because that is where God is believed. The promises of God are linked to faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have heard the preaching of the Word of God in this last time about all that God has already done and all that he has promised. And where there are people who believe the word of the Lord, God has been given the opportunity to fulfill his word. There God has the possibility to realize the last promise by grace, because that is how he has promised it. Not just anywhere. The Church of the Living God is the place where the promises of God are fulfilled. Joshua didn't say on the Egyptians or Amorites or whatever they are called, but here Joshua said, in you God has fulfilled his word. In your midst, he has fulfilled his promises. And that is why it was so dear to him to say to them, consider therefore with all your heart and with all your soul. Brothers and sisters, what shall we call out to one another today? The same words. Consider therefore all of you, with all your heart and with all your soul, that of all the promises that the Lord our God has made concerning the Church, not one has remained unfulfilled. He spoke of the seven angels, of the seven stars in his hand. He gave the seven messages. He always had people who heard what the Spirit said to the churches. It's written again and again, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And who has the ear to hear? To whom God has opened it. And to whom did God open it? His people. And who are his people? The elect, the little flock. Many are called, but few are chosen. Let the world despise us and give us all the mockery they can muster. The Lord will give us all the glory in that day that will be in heaven. You will see, it will be a day of triumph, a day of glory, when the Church will enter perfect into the presence of God. It says so wonderfully, of all the promises which the Lord your God has made in relation to you, not to anyone else, in respect of you, and these you were the people of God, the Church. Did we pay attention in the second last or last sermon? Brother Branham said, as long as the people of Israel were not brought out, they were the people of Israel. But with the moment of the Exodus, it was the church of the Lord, because they were the called out ones. And the word ecclesia means called out. It was the Lord's church to whom the promises were made, and it was the church of the Lord in which they were fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, do not think that the whole world will receive with open arms what God has intended for His elect. It is not meant to be shouted from the rooftops. It is meant for the elect. And they are not sitting in the Vatican, I'm sure. They are sitting somewhere, scattered here and there, hungering and thirsting for God and for His righteousness, and being filled with the precious word of the Lord. They know the rock is smitten and living water gushes forth. They do not seek at wells that hold no water, and they do not partake of food that is mingled, but they partake of the pure and holy food, of the word revealed by God for this time. They are abundantly satisfied with the fatness of His house. While the others dispute about it, they too move their mouths as if they were eating, but they do not. They argue about it. But God's people eat every word. For thus it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In Moses' time, God spoke and gave the promise that Joshua would lead the people of Israel into the promised land. He gave instructions as to how it should and would happen, and it did. God was with Joshua, just as He was with Moses, for the sake of His word, for the sake of His promise, for the sake of His people. He had people who carried His word in their hearts. He had people who believed Him. God could not help but move with them. God can never leave or forsake His own. He goes with us. I think we can say that without exaggerating. We as God's people in this time are bearers of the word, bearers of the promises, and therefore the God of promise is with us. God is not with everyone, as many think. God is with those who keep His word and His covenant, with those He reveals His presence and His nearness. Not everyone who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but they that do the will of My Father who is in heaven. The prophets of God had the will of God revealed to them. They stood among the people and said, thus saith the Lord. Whoever listened to them listened to God. Whoever received their word received God's word. Whoever believed them believed God. And so they were blessed by God. They went forth, rejected by men, but blessed by Almighty God. Not only blessed in time, but eternally blessed with the blessing of Almighty God. What a privilege! For example, how here this man of God can speak such words at the end of his journey. What a meeting it will be with all these faithful servants of God. What a joy to greet all those who were faithful in their time, who did not look to the left and did not look to the right, who simply understood that holy men, driven by the Holy Spirit, had spoken to them, that men sent by God brought them the word for their today, and all who listened to them were justified before God. They were blessed. They thus manifested that they had believed the testimony of God. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, faith in God is not a blurred thing. It does not mean that everyone can believe how and what he wants According to the saying, every man must go to heaven in his own way. No one has ever gone to heaven in his own way. Not one human being. Whoever has gone to heaven on the basis of faith, as the scripture says, and not otherwise. And if we consider that history is repeating itself in our time, and not only that, but that we have open eyes, if I could only write it in everyone's heart how I feel when I see the parallels of the Word of God for our time, my heart overflows. We cannot grasp it. We cannot comprehend it. We cannot measure what a grace God has granted us in this time to sit here as people who believe the Lord, who have received the word of His promise, who have not misinterpreted His holy speaking, but have received every word as the holy mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What a privilege! Nothing greater could have happened to us. We are living in the time when all things are coming to a conclusion. No one is stopping it anymore. We see it in everything. The hand is approaching 12. No one is stopping it anymore. And in what moment the last second may strike, God alone knows. But we know one thing. The God who made the promises is with those who believe His promises. And it is a God of the covenant. And you know, a covenant is like a contract, like a legacy. And we are in a covenant relationship with God. Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." Whoever confesses to be under the blood of the covenant, confesses all the words of the covenant that the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Anything else is talking past God. Every man believes something, but God's people believe the words of the covenant, and that is the old and the new covenant, all the promises that the holy mouth of the Lord has spoken. This Joshua, in heaven we will see him again and rejoice with him and say, "Joshua, we were in a similar situation as you. We had heard the word from the mouth of the prophet, to whom God had spoken in the pillar of fire, as it was in the time of Moses, even at this time." We'll be able to say, "Joshua, in many things we had something in common. You had with the people of God the word of promise in your time. We had it in our time. You believed God then, we believed God now, and here we are together." It will be a day no man can describe. There will be joy and gladness among all those who have believed God. I do not hope, brothers and sisters, that there is a single person sitting in our midst who does not believe the Word of God. God's Word deserves to be fully believed. God's promises are worthy to be received with all our heart and soul, to be pondered day and night, and to rejoice in them, and knows God has looked upon us in favor. He has made the words of His covenant come true. In Revelation we read of the angel on the cloud, the Lord Himself, with a rainbow over His head, and before we see Him on the throne, and the rainbow is over Him, the bow of the covenant. You see the elders, all the faithful of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, heaven is not a stomping ground for all kinds of people. Heaven is a place for people who have believed God, a place for people who have honored God, a place for people who have received God's promises. Not a place where disagreements are still being fought, not a place where opinions are still being asserted here and there, a place of complete bliss for all the blessed, for all those who have believed the Lord. You all know heaven is a reality. You will be able to talk to all these people, and there will be those from every age who have believed the Lord. Therefore, we all have something in common in heaven, because we have believed the Lord in our time. There will be no one who says, "Oh, I did not believe the Lord." He would not be there in the first place. All those who have believed the Lord will be there to sing of God's faithfulness, to offer the thanks due to the Lord. Joshua, the man of God, I don't know why my eyes fell on this verse. I didn't know what to read. It is simply a glorious word. "Behold, I am now going the way of all the earth. Therefore, consider with all your heart and with all your soul that of all the promises which the Lord your God has made concerning you, not one has remained unfulfilled. Nay, all are come to pass unto you. Not one of them has remained unfulfilled." He who can say this, his mouth was blessed by God. His heart was filled with the love and grace of God. He knew what he owed to his God and to God's people when he took stock of his life. He didn't say, "I have achieved this and that." He emphasized the faithfulness of God and what God has done. We who live in this time have also nothing to show, but one thing God has given us, a heart that believes Him. We cannot help but believe, although some may have had trouble believing it all at first. It may have been too powerful. There were too many things. There were supernatural experiences in such quantity that one could almost ask the question, how was all this possible? But with God, all things are possible. And it pleased Him to make His word great and glorious in this time. It pleased Him to emphasize the promises of the last days and to put them upon the lampstand. It has pleased Him to fulfill His own word, to send the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. It has pleased Him to seek His people. And Jesus said Himself, "When I am lifted up from the earth, then I will draw to Myself all the scattered children of God." We know that He was lifted up on the cross, lifted up above all the heavens into glory, and He draws to Himself all the scattered children of God. We didn't really fit in anywhere, but we fit in the Church of God. Whether we have come to terms with this completely, whether we have found this complete harmony among ourselves, that is up to the Lord. Perhaps one more, the other less. But one thing we know, our place is in the Church of the Living God. And we share in the promises of the Lord. There is no one in our midst who would say, the others believe everything, but we all believe along. We do not just push it on others, but we all confess as with one mouth, God has spoken to us in this time. And His speaking needs no more interpretation. It is clear enough for all those who understand the language of the Spirit of God. Paul writes, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him." And he immediately begins to interpret. There is nothing to interpret about the things of the Spirit. If we wanted to explain to a man how it is with a pillar of fire, how would we begin? We don't have to explain that to anyone. If we wanted to somehow explain things or even the promises for this time to someone, if God does not open their heart and unlock their understanding for the Scriptures, all explaining and all effort is in vain. But if we are like the Emmaus disciples, that we simply talk about things with an open heart and are grieved, then He will turn to us, will go with us. And when He goes with us, that is certain, then He will reveal His word to us. When a person says, "The Lord Jesus goes with me," when he sings in the choir, "He goes with me and He speaks with me," it is very easy to sing that. But the Word of God testifies that the Lord Jesus kept to these two who were on the way to Emmaus, and He walked with them, and His walking was not just a silent walking. He began with Moses and all the prophets to tell them that it had to be fulfilled, and their hearts began to burn. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus walks with us, when He talks with us, will He talk about the beautiful weather? He will start with Moses and with all the prophets and will open our understanding for the Scriptures and will say, "Do not all things have to be fulfilled as it is written?" I just wrote it in this booklet. 109 Old Testament prophecies were literally fulfilled at the first coming of Jesus Christ. That wasn't just two or three. It was over 100. And all the Bible teachers should have known that one thing after another was being fulfilled before their eyes, which they preached to others year in and year out. They didn't see it. The prophet Isaiah said, "Their eyes are blinded, their hearts hardened. With seeing eyes they do not see, and with hearing ears they do not hear." God has ordained it so. We all know that. Now it is no different. Only he to whom God has opened his ear can hear. Isaiah says in one place, "He wakeneth morning by morning mine ear as a disciple." In the way of disciples, and a disciple is one called by the Lord from mouth to mouth. All the disciples had been called by the holy mouth of the Lord. Wherever they were, He called them. They had given their all and followed Him by day and by night. True disciples are people who hang on the mouth of Jesus, who receive His words, who believe Him, who walk with Him. And therefore, if He has given us a disciple's ear, then we have the right ear. A brother once said to me, he came from Yugoslavia, he said, "Brother Frank, what we need is a spiritual hearing." And I can still hear it ringing out of his mouth today. He emphasized it in a peculiar way, a spiritual ear. And I thought to myself, "Man, you are saying something. Spiritual hearing. Everyone has ears. But who has a spiritual ear to hear the voice of the Spirit and the speaking of his God in this time?" It will be possible to say at the end of our time, "God has fulfilled all the promises." Has not God already fulfilled what He has told us here in this place? Has not God fulfilled in manifold ways? We need only look around us to see what God has done. Our God is a faithful God. He is a God of the covenant. And He keeps the covenant with all those who cleave to Him, who not only sing of the blood of the Lamb, but know that it is a blood of the new covenant, a blood of the New Testament, a valid dedication of Him who professes the blood, that he may believe all the words of the mouth of God, whether they be in the Old or New Testament. In the Old Testament, Moses called the people of Israel together, read to them all the words that God had commanded him, and they answered, "Yea, we will obey them all and do after them. And then he sprinkled them with the blood, sprinkled the book and the altar. Everything is sprinkled with the blood. The people of God are washed with the blood of the Lamb, as it says in Hebrews, sprinkled. We are sprinkled. That is the word taken from the Old Testament, that everything was cleansed with blood already in the Old Testament and consecrated to God. And so, as the church of the new covenant, we are consecrated to God with the precious blood of the Lamb, with the blood of the New Testament, to believe Him, to trust Him, and to know what His holy mouth has spoken, He will fulfill. O blessed are all the people who have believed the Lord. The angel said to Mary, blessed are you because you have believed. Blessed are all because they have believed. Blessed is Abraham because he believed. Blessed is Joshua because he believed. Blessed are all the people of God because they believed what God spoke in their day. Jesus said, behold, I send unto you scribes and prophets, of whom you will kill some, and persecute and abuse others, and so forth. But he says, where would there be a prophet whom you did not persecute, and one sent from God whom you did not stone? From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was slain under the altar of burnt offering, all the holy blood has been shed. Brothers and sisters, the servants of God did not have an easy way on earth. Certainly, they had no audience in their time, but they had an audience with God forever. They have returned home in blessing and are resting. And in Hebrews it says, they should not come to perfection without us. They wait until we too are perfected, and then we'll come before the Lord together. I wish that this time would march together with the time of Joshua. It is such a glorious comparison, such a parallel that we may draw from that time to this time. My heart is just very touched. I didn't think about that word or thought before. I'm grateful to the Lord that He has given us these thoughts tonight from His Word, and that we can come before His face anew with grateful hearts. Tell me, what is more precious to a child of God than to come before the face of God with thankfulness? A Joshua, he knew what he owed to the Lord, namely with all his heart and with all his soul. All should consider to whom the promises were addressed, in whose midst they had been fulfilled, who had seen it, experienced it, how step by step, day by day, the word of the Lord had been fulfilled in their midst. That is how it is for us at this time. We have seen it. We have experienced it. The God of Moses was the God of Brother Branham, and the God of Joshua is our God. He was faithful then, he is faithful now. He kept his promises then, he keeps them today. Who wants to describe his faithfulness and the way with his people until the completion, until the glorious day when he will come again to take all the faithful? What does it say in Revelation chapter 19 from verse 11? All the heavenly host followed him on white horses. These are the faithful, it says, who have been faithful to the Lord, who have believed Him and trusted Him. May it be said of us at this time, because we have believed Him and been faithful in what He has spoken to us, we have been counted worthy to escape all things, not because of us, but because of the blood of the covenant. Brothers and sisters, when I say this, in truth, only those are under the blood who have received the words of the covenant inaugurated by the blood. Only they are under the real protection of the blood of the Lamb, who have understood that the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, has overcome to open the seals and take the book. Whoever passes by, all that God does, what will he still sing of the blood of the Lamb and of all these things? But when we realize that we may believe at this time what the Lord has spoken, then it is not a theory for us, but it's a divine reality, a need to thank the Lord from the heart. May God's word be blessed on us tonight. And if we have learned nothing from it, let us rejoice in this thought. God keeps his word. He keeps his promises. And it will be said, not one of all the promises which the mouth of the Lord has spoken and given to you has failed. No, all of them have been fulfilled in your midst. May God grant us, as his church, the same privilege at this time as when the people of Israel began to be restored to the land. You all know it was the land of promise. From God, it already belonged to the people of Israel when he made the promise to Abraham and said, after 400 years, how long has it been since the Reformation? How long has it been? You only have to look at the time. God has restored everything in due time. He has given everything in due time. You only need to see that. Our God neither sleeps nor slumbers. He watches over his word. He watches over his people. He gives everything in due time. Jesus is never late. May such gratitude to God spring from our midst as has never been. And whoever is offended that people are grateful, how long will such a person remain ungrateful? We cannot but offer the thanks due to the Lord, and he will grant us the grace to do so. Praise be to his holy name. Amen.